Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are welcome to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otterbill. We are looking at the subject of marriage, and we are continuing the teaching titled Marriage 101. Many people respond to marriage based on the marriages they have observed, most likely from their parents or from older relatives, uncles, aunties, older siblings, brothers and sisters who are older who married, or friends, or the people in the neighborhood. You observe their marriages and then they become your own expectations. So if your examples are wrong, then your expectations may also be wrong. And the statistics on marriage worldwide is not very encouraging. It seems as if we are losing the battle at home, and it's reflecting in the morals of the children we are raising and the general comportment of society. So it's important that we get these foundations right. And I want to encourage you, if you are married, that you make a determined effort to be a doer of God's word. The principles we are hearing here can totally transform your marriage and make it a good one. If you are not married, you will be blessed by it. And if you married and couldn't really go through it and you are divorced, you can learn from your mistakes and you can have a great opportunity from God. And the message is going to come to you right after this.
And now, today's message.
I came across some statistics that really shook me. And it was not based on in Ghana. Here, we walk by faith. You know, we believe everything is all right. But this statistic was from the U.S., and I suppose it's quite representative of what happens in our country as well, because human beings are the same everywhere, that 50% of all marriages, first-time marriages, 50% of all first-time marriages end up in divorce. That means half. And then 60% of all second marriages end up in divorce. 70% of all third marriages end up in divorce. 80% of all fourth marriages end up in divorce. So you can know the progression. So really, it tells you that divorce is not an answer. Because when you divorce and remarry, you increase your chances of another divorce. And if that doesn't work and you go to the third one, you increase your chances. And that's how come people end up marrying about six or seven people and you think they are crazy. You know, there are some film actresses, I know a couple, who have tried. They've married seven times, eight times, and all in divorce. And you look at it, the more they marry, the shorter the marriage. Because as you marry more, you decrease the probability of the survival of your marriage. And that is very important because it tells me that if you don't hold fast to your first marriage and you allow it to slip by and you go and remarry, you position yourself for hard times ahead. Not because you are a bad person, but because you come with more problems into the second marriage. And this one is even talking about when only one partner is the one who is doing the second marriage. But when both are doing second marriages, the percentage increases. And if both are doing third marriage, I can guarantee you disaster will come your way. So, for those of you who are married, don't get married with the intention that if it doesn't work, I'll get out. Because human beings have a way of talking about complex things as if they are very simple. It's like somebody who is pregnant with a child and she says simply, I'm going to get rid of it. Or a couple who have two children or four children, they didn't plan for a fifth child. Then the wife gets pregnant. The man comes home and says, get rid of it. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. Marriage, childbearing is not that simple. You don't get rid of it. Because that it is a human being. With life. With spirit. Created in the image of God. The nation may not charge you with murder. Because the nation does not recognize that the child who is unborn is a human being. But isn't it hypocritical that a child is in a woman's womb? 5 minutes before that child is born, it's not a human being. 5 minutes after it is born, it's a human being. 5 minutes before it was born, it was a human being. 10 minutes before it was a human being, an hour before it was a human being, a month before it was a human being, 2 months before it was a human being, 3 months before it was a human being. So you can't get rid of it. Tell the person next to you, you can't get rid of it. I know somebody is planning it, so God spoke to you just now. God just spoke to you. You can't just get rid of it. If you were unmarried, and you got pregnant, or you made a woman pregnant, don't complicate the problem with an abortion. Seek for counsel. Because Satan will always tell you the easy way out. But the easy way out will end you into more problems. Seek for counsel. And you'll be counseled. You will have the child. You will suffer. But you will have the child. And you will not complicate your iniquities. If you are married. If you are married. The two of you are married. And you were planning for 3 children. And the fourth one comes. Don't kill the fourth one. It's an abomination. You may say, but I don't have money to feed that child. Well, but you're bringing that child to the world. You have to work extra hard. But we don't know how to take care of the child. I'm too grown. I can't start having children at this time. Then you should have prevented the child from coming. But if you allow that child to come, even if you are 99 years, like Abraham, and 90 like Sarah, you have to take care of the child. If you are married and you went to impregnate somebody and you don't want your wife to know, you must face the consequences of your actions. You must know your wife may insult you. The people in the church will get to know. The pastor may lose confidence in you. You may be sacked from a leadership position. You may be embarrassed. You may be disgraced. But that is the public price you pay for something you did privately. Is that not so? It's better to face the wrath of man than to face the wrath of God. It's wrong. You've done it. Face it. Seek counsel. Don't get rid of it. Tell the person next to you, don't get rid of it. Because it is a human being. Tell the person next to you, it is a human being. Amen? It's very, very important. But let us make commitments for those of you who are not married, that when you marry, you're going to keep your marriage. And if you're going to do that, then your foundations must be sound. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18 to 25. I am intentionally taking this teaching very slowly. I'm intentionally taking it very, very slowly because I don't want to just give you information in your head, because you must get something you can apply in your life. I don't want to rush into it and give you all kinds of stuff so you know all the theory of marriage, but you don't practice any of them. All right? Okay, Genesis chapter 2. Verse 18 to 25. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There are three important foundations we are laying concerning marriage. I said the first foundation of marriage is for man and woman to do what? Share. The second foundation, support. And the third foundation, honor. Share, support, honor. These are the three foundations of marriage. If you're going to get into marriage, you must be ready to share, to support, and honor. You share with one another, you support one another, you honor one another. If you're going to share, you don't have to be selfish. If you're going to be supportive, you have to be encouraging. You have to honor with respect and dignity. You have to share, you have to support, you have to honor. And last week I said, you cannot marry a person you don't respect and expect the marriage to work. If you are a woman and you think you are better than the man you are marrying, as a matter of fact, he has got to be marrying you. And in Ghana, when we say you've got, we mean you, the person is better off for marrying you. Because as I said last week, many women have very exaggerated opinions of themselves. You were a nice person, but you've heard so much about yourself from men that you have a very big opinion about yourself. Some women believe they are the most beautiful thing ever to happen on earth. And they feel that way because some man has told him so, or told her so, right from childhood. Your father's friends told you were beautiful. The big boys in the neighborhood told you were beautiful. Some bad, corrupt uncles told you were beautiful. You went to school, your seniors told you were beautiful. When you walk by the roadside, all the drivers of the cars are looking at you. When you walk by the roadside, people are whistling at you. So you have this opinion that you are very, very beautiful. And I said, for your information, men don't care. They will whistle at anything that is not male. Oh yeah. They are not doing that because you are extraordinary, but because they are aggressive, they are lustful, because they want to go to bed with you. They don't care about your intelligence. They don't care about your education. They don't care about anything about your future. All they want to do is to spend the next 5 minutes with you behind a tree. All right? So they are not saying that because you are the most beautiful thing that happened. Now, if you allow all the compliments you've heard to enter your head, women, you are going to think you are the best thing to happen on earth since Eve. And when that happens, you may make some mistakes. And some of the mistakes you make is that you will think yourself so honorable that some men who even approach you, you will try to put them in their place because they don't match up. Because even Mr. So-and-so, who is the managing director, is following me. How come you? Is that not so? It's very easy. Now what the women never stop to analyze is that Mr. So-and-so is already married. And is not looking for a marriage partner, but he's looking for extracurricular activity. So if you take his attention to be a measure of your own value, you will have an exaggerated opinion about yourself. And therefore you may marry a man and constantly think you've done him a favor. And you're always going to tell him, do you know the people who wanted to marry me? Do you know before you came and even after you came, those who have been coming? And there are men who also have an exaggerated opinion of themselves. Because all their lives they have thought themselves as very strong and very macho. Some men believe that all the women like them. When they walk, they are very conscious that the women like them. They see their muscles, their deep voice. As they grow and they feel they are the best thing that happened since Adam. Sometimes for the men, it is their family background, who their parents were. And in Ghana particularly, if you have a hyphen in your name, you feel better than the unhyphenated ordinary Ghanaians. You know, there has to be a hyphen in your name, Otabil Donko. Better still for the combination of the names to be foreign. Foreign names. German, Portuguese, English or Dutch. You feel very great. And sometimes for the men, the education they had, the schools they went to, all come into play and they go through life feeling on top of the world and thinking that whoever they marry, they are doing a favor to. God said to Adam, let us make him a helper comparable to him. If you don't think the person you are marrying is comparable to you, drop that person away. If you think you are higher, if you are a man and you say, let me marry this woman to bring her up, that is a non-starter. You don't marry a woman to bring her up. I want to train her. She's not your parrot, please. Or the woman says, I'll marry him, I'll polish him. Are you a shoeshine? You can't polish him. You can tolerate his behavior, but you can't polish him. By the time people grow to the marriageable age, almost all their lifetime habits have been formed. They may make little adjustments, but they will not be very radical. The way they eat will be the same. If they make noise when they are eating, and it offends you and gets on your nerves before you marry, don't think when you marry the noise from his mouth will slow down or lower, because it won't. He has acquired a habit. He said, please stop. Okay. Leave him 5 minutes. It's part of his habit. It's going to take major grace from the Holy Spirit to change that one small habit. So if you can't stand it and you think it's so bad that you can't live with it, then I would say make alternate arrangements. However, I don't think that is the basis for even leaving a person. Because a person's worth is more than how he eats. How many of you agree with that? There can be somebody who will share all with you, but they don't dress well. They will share their hearts with you. They will share their last bit with you. They will sit with you. They will listen to you. They will encourage you. They will honor you. But they don't dress well. Are you going to say because of dressing, you will disqualify all the other virtues? You see, because you have to get the foundations right. What happens in most cases, divorce is only a product of a bad foundation. Divorce doesn't just happen. It was there from the beginning. Because the people's foundations were wrong. For all of you young men who are not married, who want to get married, you need to fix your head upright. You need to fix your head right. You are not going in there to train a woman. You are not going in there to bring her up. You are not going in there because you want somebody to wash your things for you or cook for you. And more, as our society grows, it becomes more and more difficult for the traditional roles of the man and the woman to play out at home, because the women are also working as much as the men. So for those of you young men, let me give you a little advice. Learn how to wash your things. If you can't wash, buy a washing machine. If you can't buy a washing machine, take your things to the laundry where people are employed and paid to wash things. But if you expect that your wife will work with you from Monday to Friday and spend Saturday to wash your things for you, there is something very radically maladjusted in your thinking processes. There is something that has been misaligned. You need to be aligned mentally, because you can't do that. And it's the same way with a woman. The era of the time when the woman waits for the man to spend on her is over. Because you are also working. You are also working. When you go out, you have to decide who is going to pay. Sometimes the woman pays. Sometimes the man pays. Both of you earn salary. If you want to avoid the washing, then you must pay the bills too. Don't just say, I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave. If you're not a slave, pay also. So we have to get it right. The old foundations of a subservient woman may not work. I've seen men who sometimes go to the village to marry a village girl, because when you talk, she won't talk. Yeah, she may never talk. Even when thieves come to your house, she won't talk. She'll be there. She's a non-talking type. You get the full package. All right? So you don't go to the village to go and get some old village girl, you know, whom you can boss around, and you come and she's put some cloth around her chest and she's grinding the pepper for you. Grinding the pepper. Mira, mira. Pacha meba. Mira. No. You will get it. But after you get it, you also remember when people are coming to read the electric bill, the electric meter in your house, and they ask your wife, they say, minimo. Sanya media mini raba. It's a package. It's a package. You don't just get one side, you get the whole thing. Okay, so you have to understand it's about sharing. Everybody say sharing. We have to share. We have to share our lives together. And one of the fundamental ways in which you share is to learn to talk. You learn to talk. When you get into marriage, you have to share your life. And there are very tricky areas when you're sharing your life, because you have to share your experiences also. And some of the experiences may not be things you want to share. But you see, one thing about marriage is every secret will come out. Every secret. If it doesn't come out today, it will come out tomorrow. So you have to share. You have to share about things that have happened in your life, in your past, because they will come out. They will come out. No room for impression. Most people act so long in courtship, and then their true nature emerges after they say, I do. And that's why I believe that it's also important for courtship not to be short. It is said that you need to court for about 2 years, because people normally can't pretend for 2 years. If you court for 3 months, you are courting trouble. So you have to give it some time. So you will get to know the person. Now within that time, you don't spend your courting time just meeting each other and going for meet me there. And the next time you're going to chop kebab. Next time you're going around, let's go and visit friends. Let's go and visit. You never spend time together. You can spend 2 years, but your 2 years will not be quality 2 years. It has to be quality. I will advise any couple. You must be more comfortable with each other than with a crowd. If your fun only happens when other people are around, then your marriage is not solid. Because the two of you must be able to stay together and not be bored. The two of you must be able to go out alone and not be bored. The two of you must be able to talk alone and not be bored. And believe you me, when you start talking, it will be difficult. Because you are two different people. And most of your interests are different. So most of the time when you start courting and you start talking, it's very tedious. Because every 3 minutes, somebody will say, you don't understand me. The other person will say, that's not what I'm saying. Then the woman will start crying. You don't love me. You don't love me. Then the man looks around and says, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? This later thing, what have I done? Okay. Now when they say okay, it means that that's the end of the matter. Most times when women can't express what they feel, they express it with tears. And men don't like tears. We were trained not to cry. So when a woman starts crying, you feel very exasperated. You don't know what's happening. You don't know how to mend hair and how to mold. I mean, you just don't know. She's crying. Most times, men allow them to cry. They will cry and cry and cry and start laughing. They will cry themselves out of trouble. But when you start conversing, you know, you meet this boy, you know, you say you love her. Oh, how is it? You know, and things like that. And you start talking, oh, do you like going to the movies? Oh, that's for me, movies. What is movies? Now, if you are not careful, you say, the guy doesn't like movies. We have nothing in common. That doesn't mean you have nothing in common. It just means you are coming from two different places. You have to learn to stick together to even know whether he has a heart of sharing. What does he talk about? Maybe he talks about football. Every time you meet him, he's talking Senegal. And he's talking about Senegal and Brazil. This is football. And the lady too doesn't know anything about football. So you may say he's boring. Anytime you meet him in Senegal. But he's sharing. He's telling you what his interests are. He's telling you, I like soccer. I like going to the stadium. And you also start talking about a few things that make you laugh and so on. You like it. My wife, for example, you know, my wife has watched Sound of Music about 1,000 times. My wife is very romantic. She likes Sound of Music. I don't like Sound of Music. I mean, I just watch it once. I say, fine, I know it. And I move on. But she can watch Sound of Music. The kind of movies I like are not in the Sound of Music terrain. I like war films. Yeah, you give me a war, I will watch the war. You know, that's what I like. I like more action. But she likes Sound of Music. So you can imagine if you have only one television. One says, I want the war film. Yeah, I want Sound of Music. But you have to talk through. That's her interest. That's what she's sharing. My friend, as we keep saying, one of the major reasons why God established marriage is for sharing. If we can't share together, we cannot support one another. And if we cannot support one another, we cannot honor one another. So it's important that we get the principle of sharing right. And sharing is not just about sharing money, but it's
about sharing your heart, your hopes, your aspirations. And if we can learn to share our faith together, share our prayer, share our knowledge together, we can grow a team that is stronger, united, than we are as individuals. So I trust that you will let God speak to you and work on you to the extent that your marriage is not just the coming together of two individuals, but the working together of one flesh, as the Bible says, united in Christ Jesus. And Pastor Mensah Otterbill, shalom, peace, and life to you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.